Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Week 2 tonight, Denton gets underway. Buffalo at Miami in Thursday night football. That's a pretty good Thursday night week 2 game. I kind of feel like in previous years, we don't get a good week 2 Thursday night game. Last year it was Vikings-Eagles. I guess that's not terrible. But the year before that was Chargers-Chiefs. What am I talking about? It just seems like you get the big one for the first game of the year, and then that first Thursday night after the first full Sunday of the year tends to be kind of a letdown game. But tonight should be a good game. Looking forward to it. I actually have a smell test pick for tonight, but it's not on the NFL game. It's on one of the two college games that will be played tonight. And I will share that with you at some point during the show. So I want to start the show with this that I got from DK yesterday. DK writes, "What's your smell test record on Washington games, Kevin? Because you're probably going to have the Giants this week." DK knows me well, and he's implying that my record with the smell test on games involving Washington is pretty good, because it has been 64.5% over the years on games involving Washington with the Friday football smell test, whether it's having the Skins themselves or having the opponent. Last year, I had Washington in the smell test 6 times. That's a lot for a year. I had them in it 6 times, and I was 4-2 on those games. So that's actually better than what the average was heading into last year. I think it had dipped from 64, 65% down to 62 or something like that. 4-2 last year. And by the way, among the 4 wins, I had the Giants twice against Washington in the smell test. I had them when they lost 14-7 in the Meadowlands. That was week 7. The Giants were 3-point underdogs in that game. Tyrod Taylor had a good game. And then I had Tommy DeVito and the Giants at FedEx a few weeks later, getting 9 against Washington, and they won the game outright 31-19. I also had Arizona in the opener. That was a winner. I had Washington at Seattle. That was a winner. And the two losers were Thanksgiving Day. I had Washington against the Cowboys. They got routed, and I had them plus 7 against the Rams late in the season, and they lost by 8. So for those of you who bet football, you'd take 4-2 and be thrilled. That's a pretty good hit rate. And yet, 64.5% over the years in games involving Washington. And yes, DK, you wrote that to me because you sensed that I was going to have the Giants in the smell test tomorrow. And right now, as of right now, that's like 99.9% a given. The number's down to 1. There is massive sharp money on the Giants. I think, Denton, it was on the show yesterday. I told you during one of the breaks, right, that I got a text from somebody who I get information from. And what did I tell you? I said, oh, my God, I'm going to have the Giants on Friday, right?
You did say that, yeah.
And it was it's going to be one of the biggest needs for sports books everywhere on Sunday. Now, what's funny about that is that on my podcast yesterday, I titled the podcast A Giant Trap, as in, like, Washington, beware, this is a trap game. And I got this from Hal. Hal writes, Washington has a trap game? Have you lost your mind, Sheehan? You're such a homer. I get it. I know what you're saying. You know, Washington does not clearly, at this point, deserve the trap game designation. You know, they got blown out just as badly as the Giants did on Sunday. But that wasn't really what I meant. Like, I'm not looking at it from the perspective of Washington better be aware. You know, they're much better than the Giants, but this is one of those games. It feels a little bit, you know, weird. And no, they're both, you know, coming off week one blowout losses. But here's the big difference. And Denton, I think you would agree with me on this because we talked about this earlier in the week. And it actually raises a question that I'm going to ask all of you. Right now, after 1 week of NFL football, you know, everybody reacting and overreacting and, you know, just so much being written about week one. There's a couple of interesting things that came out of week one, by the way, especially as it relates to passing yards. But we'll get to that later. But I don't think there's a team in the league being mocked more than the New York Giants. And I don't think there's a player in the league being mocked more than Daniel Jones after week one. And the perception going into Sunday for the average NFL fan, and probably the average, well, definitely the average NFL bettor, is that Washington's better because the Giants are horrible. And Daniel Jones is horrible. You agree with me? Do you agree with me on that or not?
I definitely do, because as we talked about a little bit yesterday, players are jumping in on it. Like, how often do you see players mock other players? There's kind of like this unspoken fraternity to where, unless you got like beef with somebody, you're not going to talk ill about them to the media, but everybody is opening fire on Daniel Jones. It's been that way this whole offseason.
Yeah, and, you know, he stood up yesterday, you know, Wednesday's quarterback day for NFL teams to sit in front of the media, and he said, you know, basically every question was about his mental state at this point. And he said, quote, "I feel like I've been doubted plenty for a long time and dealt with that time and time again and done a good job with it. I think my mental toughness is in a good spot. I'm not concerned about that." Close quote. He talked about how, you know, "I'm just focused on my job and I am focused on the people in this building." But he's under siege, and Brian Daboll, by extension, is under siege. The Giants, this is like, you know, I'm sure the Giants are like, thank God we have Washington this week. And in Washington's case, let me back up for one moment. I'm not overreacting personally. If they lose, and I actually have an expectation of them losing because of the way I view games based on point spreads and gambling, I'm not jumping ship. I'm still going to be positive. This is week two. This is a long game here. I know I predicted 10-7. And if they start 0-4, I'll probably say at that moment, yeah, that probably doesn't look good right now. But it's too early to bail on what Adam Peters did in the offseason, what he's planning on doing next offseason and the offseason after that, on Dan Quinn and his staff, on Jaden Daniels and all the new players. They're just too new to really get overly worked up about the results. Now, I'd like to see more urgency, more compete, more, you know, desperation, more flying around. The identity thing, you know, that Dan Quinn's talked about, I think he'd like to see more of that as well. I'd like to not, you know, hear, you know, next week about how there were encouraging things that were pulled out of the game, that, you know, the pass rush, you know, was good and nearly got home. And I mean, we're going to have things that you pull out and you're like, okay, that wasn't bad, but we can talk about those things. I don't want to hear those things from them if they lose to the Giants. This game for them is a game that, it feels, for the what they want accomplished here in this season, you know, even if deep down they would tell you, yeah, we're not a playoff team. I think actually they believe that if things break right, they could be in the mix. But if deep down they're like, yeah, we're just not good enough. You know, our personnel is just not good enough to compete with some of the teams that we have to compete with. But they also understand that there was excitement and optimism heading into this season, perhaps more than any season in recent memory. And that starting off 0-2 with a loss to Daniel Jones and the Giants at home, you're going to have people that kind of scurry away for a while and say, yeah, tell me when this thing starts to turn around. And I just think, and I think we talked about this the other day, like from a business standpoint, it probably would have been better if like the Ravens were the opponent, because they have the Ravens. Although the Ravens game is not at home, right? Do they play the Ravens at home or on the road?
I think it's on the road tomorrow.
Yeah, it would be better like if the Steelers were in town or the Cowboys were in town, you know, because this is not, if they lose Sunday, it's going to feel worse than just a normal run-of-the-mill loss. You know, this organization has been in this mode of low expectations for a long time and not expecting much. I mean, this has been a fan base that's become a victim over the last quarter century. And so they're not, you know, the expectations aren't that, you know, this team's going to be nice to us. I understand that. But there was more enthusiasm and more excitement and more willingness to sort of embrace this particular, you know, season and the changes. And I think it's important that they beat the Giants to keep those people involved. I think it's important for all of us, too. This is a big game. It's a big game Sunday for that reason, that they will risk losing a lot of the kind of goodwill, excitement, optimism, benefit of the doubt. All right, you know, I've dubbed myself during this offseason benefit of the doubt, Kev. That's not changing. If they lose to the Giants, it's not. I promise you it's not. But I think it will be at risk with a lot of people that are also in that boat or have been in that boat of giving them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think it would be fair after two games. I think it would be a massive overreaction. And I'm not going to overreact no matter what the result looks like. My preference would be that Jaden looks really good if they go down Sunday. Because really, ultimately, this season's about getting it right there. And I'd love to see a step forward from last week, which was a solid B performance. Like, if they're going to lose, I hope it's 35-34 and like a shootout. And Jaden's just incredible. And that would mean probably that Daniel Jones was pretty good, too. Who's the backup quarterback? I know we've talked about this before.
I think it's still DeVito.
No, it's what's his face? Who played for Seattle? Who, the Missouri quarterback?
Ah, you're right, Drew Lock. DeVito's the third string.
Yeah, Drew Lock. Yeah, I'll tell you what, he can't be that far away from stepping in. I bet you this is it for Jones.
Well, it's funny. Like, so you read that quote about he's just concerned with the people in his building, but like the people in his building were on a Hard Knock show dissing him. Everybody hates this dude. So I think you're right.
Hold on for 1 second, because I don't know anything about him personally. You're not saying that they hate him personally. They just don't think he's good.
But remember, there was that Hard Knocks clip where they're like questioning, like, we don't know if Daniel's our guy after they had just paid him that $160 million contract, which usually...
Well, there was the excitement over just the you know, what somebody said about Jaden Daniels, would you? And they said, absolutely.
Absolutely, right.
So I want to ask everybody a question. I want to get a feel for whether or not you sense that this is kind of a big moment. I just, early this morning, because Tommy had a commitment this afternoon, I recorded the podcast, my podcast with Tommy earlier. And somehow we came around to the DEFCON scale, which I really... Like, right now, do you know which is the worst, DEFCON 5 or DEFCON 1? Do you know, Denton?
I think it's DEFCON 5, right?
No, DEFCON 5 is the lowest state of readiness. DEFCON 1 is nuclear war is imminent. So that's the most severe. And I kind of said to Tommy, I'm like, I kind of feel like this is a DEFCON 3 situation going into it. By the way, DEFCON 3 is described or defined as increase in force readiness above that required for normal readiness. Kind of feels that way, that this is kind of above the normal state of readiness. And it shouldn't be with a new regime, new players, rookie quarterback. I get it, and it's not for me. I want to be really clear. That's not where I am. I'm at DEFCON 5. Although Tommy made the point, he said, look, the organization's been at DEFCON 4 for 25 years. It's been at an increased intelligence watch and strengthened security measures for 25 years. It's never been in the lowest state of readiness. That's probably true. So I've just moved it up one notch. Is this a really important game, or is it just another game where you want to just see progress? You know, you want to see Jaden, you know, get a little bit better. You want to see the defense improve a little bit more. You want to see a number two wide receiver emerge. You'd like to see Terry get the ball a few more times. You'd like to see Emmanuel Forbes, who, by the way, has a splint on his hand because he injured his thumb. I'm going to be interested to see what his snap count is Sunday. Quinn said he's going to be fine. He's going to be ready to play. We'll see by the time we get to Sunday. Where are you on the DEFCON scale going into this game? DEFCON 1 being nuclear war is imminent. DEFCON 5, lowest state of readiness. I think this is there's an increased like urgency level here to beat the Giants. And it's really not about, you know, the football team and what they're going to be in week 7 and week 10 and week 12. It's more about how a lot of people are going to react to an 0-2 start, which would include a loss to Daniel Jones. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Several guests on the show today. We've got Art Stapleton, who covers the Giants for USA Today. He'll be on with us at 11 a.m. Charch will be with us at 11:25. Jordan Dejani from CBS Sports will be on with us.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
12:35. We've got NFL power rankings today, and I do have a college football smell test later on in the show. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.